sensing this danger. This is the greatest showman. He is floating on air now.
He's going to send it back.
Door. Bang. Down he goes.
They love it.
Welcome to the program. The preliminary finals last weekend proved to be business as usual, as North Melbourne and Brisbane booked their spots in the much-anticipated grand final on Saturday night. No surprises and no secrets which teams were the best in this year's competition. North Melbourne is still undefeated this year, while Brisbane lost only two games this season. These two sides deserve to fight for premiership honours, similar to last year when Brisbane walked away with the silverware. This time around, North Melbourne will be looking for redemption. In 36-degree conditions, North Melbourne absolutely destroyed Port Adelaide in the first 8 minutes of the first preliminary final at Icon Park, earning the right for a second straight grand final appearance after turning the Port Power into a Port Blackout. The match was practically over at halftime as Port could only manage two behinds to North's 52 points at the major change. The final score, North Melbourne 12-6-78, with multiple goal kickers, Wall 3, Gatt 2, Lachlan 2 goals, Randall 2 goals, Sherlock 2 goals, and Garner with 1 goal, destroyed Port Adelaide 2-9-21. In contrast to the one-side affair, the second preliminary final between traditional rivals Brisbane and the Adelaide Crows delivered good football thrilling moments and great entertainment. Brisbane will clash with North Melbourne in the AFLW Grand Final after inflicting Adelaide's Cinderella third straight preliminary finals defeat as many years. While the reigning premiers Brisbane qualified for a record-breaking 6th AFLW Grand Final appearance, it wasn't all plain sailing for the Brisbane Lions as the Adelaide Crows took the game onto the long break. After halftime, it was a different story as Adelaide copped a 5-goal battering from Brisbane in the second half to beat the Crows by 18 points. The Brisbane Lions' Orla Dyer and Ali Anderson had 24 disposals each, while Dakota Davison kicked 2.3 for 14 touches, with the final score being Brisbane 7-8-50 to Adelaide 4-8-32. I am Vanessa Gatica, and you are with the Multicultural AFLW Footy Show, and especially to our national costume team, 200th episode. Hello, guys.
Hello, everyone. Hello, ladies.
200th episode. What a weekend it was in the AFLW. Adelaide failing to secure a grand final spot for the third year in a row. The North Melbourne juggernaut rolls on a Brisbane made the grand final again for the Air Corps 6 consecutive seasons. Rajbir, your opinions, please.
Oh, sure, Vanessa. First of all, congratulations once again on the 200th episode. With North Melbourne versus Port Adelaide, North Melbourne were the favourite, so no surprise there. Bit of disappointment from the Port Adelaide, especially the way they played their semi-finals against Hawthorn, what the comeback they had. So North Melbourne, they just finished the game in the first half itself with 8 goals before the main break. Mm-hmm. And a huge credit the way they played. You have touched on their forward goalkeepers, so there were so many contributors to that. With Port Adelaide, should they be disappointed the way they played a little bit in this particular round, preliminary final, but they shouldn't be disappointed the way they with their performance the whole season, especially their forward lines, so much improvement they made throughout the season with 7 wins and 4 losses. They made it to the preliminary finals in the third season of their AFLW competition. So well played the way they played this season, huge credit and congratulations to Port Adelaide. I think if anything, they can just take away a few learning points from their experience from the season. Liz, what are your thoughts?
I agree with you. Port Adelaide really, really tried hard to beat North Melbourne, but North Shore they are in a class, but with more strength at the contest and skills to move the ball smoothly. The North Melbourne forwards were ruthless and converted a lot of their opportunities. And Vicky Wall led their scoring with 3 goals, including a long bomb from outside 50. And the other one, skipper Emma Kearney as well, was mostly rested on her return. from a hamstring injury. She sat out in the first quarter entirely and was on only the ground for, say, under 40% of the game time overall. And North Melbourne winger Tyler Gatt showed she is one of the hardest runners in the AFLW. She was awarded with 2 goals in this game from overlap running, and she finished her chances clearly.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, there was no surprise there. This wasn't the first time that both teams had faced each other. In week 5, you know, North won with 41 points and Port only had 6 points.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm not surprised as to the fact that there was such a big margin in the win. But, you know, the Kangaroos have been on fire.
Yes.
They've been tearing up the whole competition like a hot knife through butter. And they've basically been unstoppable. They have... they haven't lost a single game. So, yeah, there's no surprise there at all.
Yeah,
100%. And Emeka, Nia, you touched base on Liz. That was a good point. I think they are easing her into the grand final.
Yes,
so it was a good opportunity for her to bring it back in this round. And the next one we had, Brisbane Lions versus Adelaide Crows. Liz, I think you touched base on Crows' performance in the last round as well, and the whole season we have been talking about their forward inside 50 efficiency, which has been not been very consistent, and that was not really great, even though they win that match against Fremantle, but they were still lacking in their forward 50 efficiency, and that same thing happened against the Brisbane Lions. They had the ball in their court, especially the first quarter, 90% of the time. There were a few misses from the Brisbane Lions too. One of the set shot was missed by Brisbane Lions, but they were quick to make a comeback in the third quarter, where they just, you know, with 4 unanswered goals, and they took off the game from the third quarter itself. So Adelaide Crows, like you mentioned, Vanessa, it is their third year without having the entry into the grand final. So a few lessons they need to take away with this loss, and really need to rebuild the team, because the same team has been playing for quite a few seasons. I think they should be looking at new players, to introduce new players into their team, new strategies they need to work on. The next season, hopefully, will see them better in 2025. But Brisbane Lions, congratulations, the way they played, they just don't give up. And they come up with different strategies, and it really worked. The SWAC versus Ebony Marinoff one-on-one, that was a good contest to watch during the preliminary final.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that to do with the weather as well. Sorry. And early in the third quarter, just want to mention Chelsea Belgium took a defensive mark for the Crows, but took a step off her mark, so she was called to play on. So I think that's what's happening.
Yeah, so. I mean, you know, the Brisbane Lions have made it once again to the grand finals. They've probably made it to the grand final so many times now, they could probably write a book about it.
Yeah.
But again, with this one, it wasn't the first time these two teams had played in this season. And it was, you know, it was not by a big margin. So, yeah, not surprised to see that outcome.
Thank you, guys. And we'll be back with more AFL and AFLW news. Stay tuned. Welcome back. The AFL last week unveiled its fixture for the AFLW season 2025. What we have, a 12-round season starting mid-August and finishing with the grand final on the 29th November 2025. The issue remains that not all teams are quite equal, with the last few years dominating the season while the others spend time watching daylight rather than the top four positions. Is this pattern going to continue next year, or do you think that the AFLW is going to even out playing the field in the next AFLW draft? Your thoughts on the AFL season and fixture for the next year, Liz? Do you see any of the bottom sides this year turning the season around in the next year?
Yes, I do. They can only play better, and there's more athleticism, and there are players are more skillful, and they're really great to watch and more entertaining this year. So what do you think that one too?
I agree 100%. I mean, few teams like Port Adelaide, Swans didn't have a good season, but we can see they have the strength too. Mm. And Hawthorn, they were really good this season. Bulldogs, I hope they make a comeback. That was the youngest team, arguably, of the season. So hopefully they also, you know, had this season, they build up their team. And yes, next season, I do see bottom teams coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. I also agree with you. And interesting that you should mention the Bulldogs. I reckon based on how they were playing towards the end, they're actually going to probably come in quite strong next year. And it's going to be interesting. They might even be in the top eight. And, you know, Richmond as well, I reckon, is probably going to play better. There's also Melbourne. There's a few teams that I reckon might be, doing a lot better next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also, so should the AFL matches be played before the main AFL match?
I think, yes, they should. They could capitalise on, you know, the fact that the men's game is going to be on later on in the day. Mm. It just means that the fans are going to have to be going to the game a bit earlier. And, you know, the crowd's going to be there, you know. So, yeah, I think it'll be good. What do you think, Rajbir?
I think there are two ways to look at it. Should the whole season be starting before the men's season? I think so. I believe maybe it can start late January or along with the men's pre-season. It will be great for fans to ease into the men's season. I see that opportunity, and then maybe the finals happening along with the first few rounds of the men's home and away season. I think it will be good to see more audience coming up for the women's finals and, you know, having the double headers along with the men's season. I do see an opportunity having the AFLW before the AFL.
It was also give an opportunity for those people who doesn't really go to the AFLW, so they will see the AFL, the women's game. They're more entertaining, and they can, it's if they go there first, they get the best seats.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
That's the advantage of it. And the other one too, should the clubs consider playing at better grounds and more like large venues if they are to play in the pre-AFL matches?
Yes, I think they should.
Absolutely, I agree. They should be played at a bigger, better venues. The local grounds, it's not well looked after. Local traffic is, foot traffic is there, and we saw the example. One of the example was Victoria Park, where there was water leakage. But yes, that's audience issue as well. One of the Hawthorn Richmond game, the Hawthorn was playing for $1 million. That was sold out. So I wanted to go for that match, but I could not because it was sold out and couldn't get the tickets too. So I was just hoping, you know, they probably book a venue at least for the main matches, they feel the more audience would come up or the fans would come up. Yes. So yes, larger venues, definitely.
Well, yeah, I agree with you guys totally, and yeah, give them some experience to play those ground. So the other one, should the rules of the game, such as the length of quarters, numbers of the players per side and boundary throw, be the same as in AFL competition? What do you think of that one?
I'm not quite ready, Liz. Yeah. I don't think so. Players are ready. There are a few points to it. The AFLW players, few of them, probably all of them, are still working part-time, a different job,
That's
or
true.
Studying That's part-time. True. They're very young. They are not well-trained to survive for the longer quarters. So I don't know if they are ready yet. Yes. But I would love to see to see them playing the same length of quarters or with the number of players as the men's competition. But I don't think so at this stage. AFLW competition is there.
Maybe in time, maybe later on.
Yeah, because maybe 2026.
This is their ninth season, isn't it, AFLW? Yeah. So maybe later on they can do that. So
I think probably by 2026 they should be ready. I mean, we saw how well they played this year. But I don't think we're quite there yet. Like, there's still a lot of work, like you said, that still needs to be done. And the fact that you bring up the salaries and stuff, you know, they're not getting paid same. So
the fatigue. Sector.
Exactly. Yeah. The fatigue, you know, they have to be mindful of the fact that it's a bit.
Okay. Well, the other one that we should consider is that should the AFLW home and away fixtures be longer?
100%. I think so. Yes. Again, the question remains, will the players be available? But it would be good to see, you know, at least each club playing each other once during the home and away season. It gives them the opportunity to learn more and grow more and build up their strength. To come back to the last point, that should they be playing the the length of the quarter, should that be increased? But I think before that, maybe the home and away fixture should be longer so that the team, all the teams have the strength and the stamina, the athleticism to play longer quarters.
Thank you, ladies. And on that note, we'll return with more Anor AFLW Grand Final previews and tips for the big game and a brief look and comments regarding our last 7 years on our program right after this short break. See you on the other side. Welcome back to the longest-running multicultural AFL footy program in Australia. After 200 TV episodes, 200 CRN radio podcast episodes, and 151 live match linguistic diversity broadcasts over the last 7 years, we have passed the test of primetime popularity ratings to bring you a unique perspective on AFL and AFLW football's diversity and inclusion. The NEMBC would like to thank our partners who came on board for this linguistic diversity project 8 years ago and are still with us: the National Ethnic and Multicultural Broadcasters Council, NEMBC, the Australian Football League, and the AFLW, the Community Broadcasting Foundation, Channel 31 TV, Channel 44 Adelaide, CTV Plus, the CBAAs, Community Radio Network Satellite Service, and all our multicultural presenters, broadcasters, crews, past and present, who persevered in their endeavors to train and deliver professional outcomes, and those who went on to work in the mainstream media. Most of all, we all thank Fifth Antonio, our producer and director, who had a vision in bringing all these partners, personnel, and training programs together from day one and still with us. Further thanks to the NEMBC, the Community Broadcast Foundation, and the Australian Football League, and all our partners who will support us for the next 3 years, ensuring that this project continues to be a viable product embracing multiculturalism and inclusion. I would like to ask our AFLW panel members tonight what their experiences through the years working on this TV and radio project. I have been here for 7 years, Ella.
Well, I'm fairly new. This is my first season, of which I started not at the very beginning, but I have to say it's been an amazing journey. I mean, I grew up in Canberra and I was a diehard Rabbitohs fan, and then moving to Melbourne and living in Richmond when I first moved here, to then becoming a diehard Richmond fan. You know, it's just amazing. The football in Melbourne is so different. It's so electric, you know. It's sometimes, I think this is how the people in the UK feel with the English Premier League, like the way people love their teams. It's just absolutely amazing. And just being on this project has been great. Shout out again, like you said, to Fifth Antonio, the producer, the man behind the scenes. And all of you guys who have been so supportive, I really, really appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to the next few seasons.
Yeah, and it's been a similar experience for me too. It's my second season, and I've been just grateful to Fiv, like you just mentioned, our producer, and Harbir, our fellow panelist, who introduced me to the team, and such a lovely team. And I just love being on the show, and there are so many things to learn about footy. Richmond, I hope your team does better next season. There are so many things for me to learn and grow with this team. So we're really lucky and happy to be part of the show.
Well, for me, I love it. I mean, there's no Mondays that sort of I look forward and working with you guys, working with our producer and learning more about football, because I used to follow it before, but then sort of like the team sort of like the retired, but working this, I'm going back and I'm loving it. And thank you to Vanessa for introducing me to this one.
And thank you. And our men's squad, we should not forget.
Yes, lovely team to work with. Lovely team to work with.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much to everyone, to the audience, mainly to watch the show. Without you, we won't be here. So thank you so much for these 7 years. It's been an amazing journey, and with all people involved, we've been loving footy and sharing with our communities, which is the most important thing, about the passion of footy, about why we all love our footies now. And thank you for sharing your sport with us. Thank you, Australia. And thank you, panel. So now, what about Saturday's grand final? Rajbir, which side has the better chance of winning?
Ooh, can't wait for this one. A rematch of the last year's grand final, 2023. Looking at, and the best two teams of the competition are in the grand final, rightly so. North Melbourne still undefeated. Yeah. Brisbane Lions with only two losses for the season.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
And I think looking at their last five encounters, it's 4-1 in Brisbane Lions' favour. But this season, North Melbourne is much more stronger and consistent as compared to Lions. Their last year's grand final, it was North Melbourne who was actually dominating the game, but the last quarter was by Brisbane Lions, four unanswered goals. I don't think so North Melbourne would let that happen this year, because this season when they met, it was completely one-sided affair. North Melbourne dominated the game. Would they have the first quarter, opening quarter, as strong as it was against Port Adelaide? I don't think so. I think Brisbane Lions would be equally strong. So it will be a great contest. The midfields of both the teams are strong. The forwards of North Melbourne probably are slightly stronger and more consistent with their efficiency as compared to the Brisbane Lions. So I think once they get the ball, you know, in their inside 50, they are not going to lose any or miss any chance to take a shot at goal. So I'm going with North Melbourne. Brisbane Lions, they were not consistent. I think it was a week 10 against St Kilda where they only scored in alternate quarters. So that inconsistency with the scoring would cost a lot to Brisbane Lions. So North Melbourne for me.
North Melbourne for you. Well, for me, I said it during this year that I'm going for Brisbane. It's going to be a really, really close game. And Brisbane were the underdogs in last season, grand finals. So as well, so they will relish this scenario again. So for them, it is a chance to be the first ever back-to-back grand final winners.
I'm going to go with North Melbourne.
I'm
going to be the decider. I know I've been like Liz. I've been pro Brisbane. I've been, you know, so impressed by the playing all through the season, and they have done amazingly. I think this game is going to be an epic battle.
Yes, thank you, guys. Our live NEMBC AFLW match broadcast this week is the grand final in the Spanish language from the Icon Park at 7:45 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time on the 30th of November between North Melbourne against Brisbane Lions, with multicultural AFLW TV panel personality Vanessa Gatica and popular broadcaster Eddie Guerrero live on the AFL app. Which brings me to my selection from the AFLW finals. I am with North Melbourne, definitely. They are the amazing season, and I think they will end the season strong.
Go the Roos.
Go the Roos. Well, that's all we have time for this week. And it is also our last show for the year. We'll be back in 2025 with our regular TV programs, podcasts, the AFL Diversity News in live broadcast on the AFLW app from the 27th of February 2025 for our 8 series. You can also watch us in Adelaide on Channel 44 Friday evenings and online at CTV Plus. You are listening to this podcast on the Community Radio Network. I am Vanessa Gatica.
I'm Liz Honey.
I'm Rajbir.
And I'm Ella Rochanel.
Thank you for being with us, and we shall see you next year. But in the meantime, we'll replay the last 2 minutes of the exciting preliminary final result between Brisbane and Adelaide last Saturday night from Brisbane.
Here's a chance. Right on cue, and somehow Conway misses from 3 metres. Brisbane having a good couple of minutes here. Can Orla put it on the scoreboard? From 45 out, attacks the square. Where's the crummers? There they are. And Dakota misses as well. Penetrating kick. Randall at the front. And gets the opening goal of the prelim final. Good distance on the kick. Randall flies, but it's Gould. This suddenly feels like a decent lead. Played by 13 points. Mullins did well. Hotter. Hampson. Dawes. Bends it inside 50. Working to the front well was Bedell. Sparked it enough. Ruby opened the door for Kathy to gather. Davidson at the front. Strong against Allen. But Brisbane's first. She puts it through.
calling for it laterally, as you can see. To half forward, Davidson with the Falcon. It works for Spark. Somehow, through traffic, long, Hodder, heads Goldwyn, and bounces it through. It beats Smith. Prowse has been superb. Tonin sells the dummy on O'Dwyer. To half forward, read beautifully by Hatchard. Gives it off. Ballard sweeps forward. Randall! Brilliant from Chelsea.
Well, have a look at this. This is incredible from Chelsea Randall.
A buffer for Adelaide. And the chance steps up and goes bang! Conway goes looking for Davidson and finds her in the fingertips.
And that's the link-up that we were talking about at half-time that they haven't had much of in the first half.
Beautiful kick from Davidson to Spark. She knows she's got Hampson out. Just puts it into the path of Ellie. Cathy might have to go herself. Ellie works hard to get there. Coming from nowhere was Kelly. Left it behind. Hampson kicks the goal! Chelsea Padel, ever reliable down back. Called to go, put herself into all sorts of trouble. Allinger can run into an open goal. Hodder off to Grider. Now it's up to Adelaide to respond. A few important minutes here because Brisbane are surging. Spark to O'Dwyer. Searing kick to half forward, beats all comers. Sarah Allen will be first back onto it. She's under pressure, can't beat the tacklers. Umpire set a throw. 35 out. Never looked like missing. Puts it out into the path of Cathy Spark. Looks to use long. Evie's kick across the body. Good contest, Spark. Created the spillage. Quick hands onward. Socket forward from Hampson. Past Davidson. Dakota turns around. Will go off the deck and go.
She had three numbers out here from that kick. They had the numbers on this side. She went the far side.
Dawes scurries away from the stoppage with the dagger. Goal side of Gould. So Kelly will look up. She'll go to that one-on-one. Gould took front position. Gee, that was clever from both players. And now the bouncing football. It's a two-on-one. It's rolling goalward. Custerman will get there and goal. And Brisbane have broken out. Once again, the Lions are through to their sixth AFLW Grand Final, and only North Melbourne stands between Brisbane and back-to-back flags.